City of Maple Bear, top of the morning to you. I already got a live chat right out of the gate. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I was just having a fabulous, fabulous conversation with some bears on Twitter this morning, and we were actually disagreeing. Turns out Vox Day has some certain thoughts about Q that are just different, slightly different. Maybe I haven't actually, slightly different than mine. And it was a great thread because it was like, yeah, well, there's this, but then there's also this perspective, and there's this aperture, and there's this aperture. And some nun nuts comes in on my comment and says, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're spreading propaganda. Q is the savior. Q is here to save us. You need to take the dildo of Q and blah, blah, blah. And was just blah, 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 blah. And I didn't even have to say anything. The guy that I was disagreeing with came in and told that guy, hey, you know, this whole true false bullshit that you're buying into, it's not helping. It's not helping my side. We didn't even know there's sides until you got here. It was when you got here that you brought in the sides. You brought in the bipolar aspect of how we need to see this whole thing. White lies matter. And we forged an entire civilization on that concept. So bad that we've painted the streets of DC in giant gold Black Lives Matter paint, and we've renamed the street Black Lives Matter Lane. I am not kidding. And it's about time that we express our masochism in paint on the street. It's about time that we express how much of a fetish we have for black people by broadcasting it on Black Lives Matter Lane. Because Martin Luther King commands you. And yesterday I explained to you that there is a god called Baal Babel. This is a worldly god. It is one that is installed in our minds because we believe. And when people believe in Baal Babel, they worship. They empty their hearts and allow the spirit of Baal Babel to fill them. And when you meet an evacuated person, your prana, your identity, sees that hole and you fill it with your own. And this is why you find them so agreeable. You enjoy the company of the psychopath. You enjoy the company of the narcissist. You enjoy the company of the sociopath because they remind you of you. Why? Because the emptiness has been filled by you. You can't help it. You imbue things. Your life is here to imbue things. You're going to hear a chainsaw. It's just going to happen. You're going to have to let it pass through you. You're going to have to learn that sometimes the gifts of Baal come when we do not want them. It's part of the process. It's part of the Earth Dojo, the kiddie pool that we live in. And the reason why the psychopathy, you find it so agreeable, is because we find ourselves agreeable. And some of you might ask, but wait a minute, I get in massive arguments with psychopaths sometimes. Why is that? And it's because you have found a mirror to challenge yourself in. You were the kitty cat in the full-length mirror, scratching at the glass at yourself. And the reason why psychopathy is so popular is because people enjoy meeting themselves on the street. We don't fear a battle with ourselves. We already know that one of us is going to win. And so it's not a problem. And on this fine Saturn's Day morning, under a pale gray sky, with the sound of chainsaws in the background, I bring you Benjamin Balderson, the man, the myth, the legend, America's favorite heathen, someone that I'm really, really glad has found the time to join us here today. Benjamin, can you hear me, my friend?
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Not seeing you this morning, though.
I think I can fix that. It might affect the stream. That's the only reason why I do that. And I know how important eye contact is. So you can probably see me now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Well,
it's always good to see you.
Yeah, you too, man. You too. It's great to hear your voice. But before you go on, I just want to publicly, on behalf of the chat, on behalf of my audience, to say a warm and hearty heathen congratulations on the wonderful catch that you acquired this week. You are now a married man, and congratulations, my friend. Really happy to hear it.
Thank you very much. I truly wish you had been there. It was absolutely perfect. We did it up on top of the mountain. The sun was setting on the one side, setting over Mount Shasta, and the moon was rising over Mount Lassen behind us. It was just amazing. We wrote our own ceremony and performed it. It was beautiful.
Right on, man. Are you doing something in the background? There's a noise that's cutting in. Wait, it's gone.
Hold on. Let me see if. Oh, let me put my.
Oh, it could be. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if it's my necklace hitting.
Of course.
Is that better?
Of course. It's your heathen jewelry, that's breaking in to say hi. I think that was definitely it.
Yeah, my bone and my feather from my good friend James.
Oh, nice. I had no idea I had such an honored place. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I have the same there. There, I am one of 19, and it's been quite a journey since we began. So, anyway.
Yes, it has.
I encourage everyone to check out your rune video that you published. I think it was fabulous. You had outlined how the runes actually fit in to the Tree of Life, and I just freaking loved it, man. I thank you for putting that out on your channel.
You bet. Thank you. It really, once you start getting that understanding, then you start really understanding the energetic movements that the rune represents and what it's saying and where that power is coming from. And it's amazing.
Yeah, I think you're opening the door to something that I haven't been able to tangibly say well enough yet. But that we are in this world, this Earth Dojo, because we need a physical ether. So maybe physical isn't even the right word, but we need a tangible ether so that we can imbue our intention, our will, our memory, our reverence into objects simply because it's a holodeck. The world is a holodeck for our mind palace, for our pranic palace, as far as like, I reject corn, therefore I need something called corn that I can look at, and anytime I look at it I can remember, I have rejected you, maize, you are unamazing, you know, or whatever it is. And so it seems like the runes are kind of like exactly that idea, placed into an electrical circuitry that just happens to be ancient. Any thoughts on that? Except for that, shut up! Go ahead.
That is absolutely perfect. And I love the way that you put that, because that is how things work. The oil side is your ether. That's your thought, your engineer. He's the piece of paper that the house is drawn on, but that has no power. So it needs to go down to the complete opposite end and have that power drawn up into it. That's why the top, the etherics, the voltage is the pull, and the bottom is the amperage, is the push. And that's giving that the power. So that way you can manifest it and you can experience it, because I can show you my recipe of chocolate pudding, and then I can show you my ingredients, and you can agree that the recipe sounds good and those ingredients look good, and I can mix it together, and it's only at that point that we really know if it's good. It could be absolute crap.
Yep.
Happens all the time. So this is beautiful. That's absolutely fantastic.
The runes have each of the runes having their own direction. Like, you're going to start at the base, you're going to go up, then you're going to turn right, and then you're going to turn right again. When I'm watching those runes, I'm thinking about it as, in my mind, I'm doing a motion of straight up, of rising with two flicks to the right, and I'm right. Looking at that as a ritual of movement, very similar to what we do when we speak. I will say yes. I mean, I will say no. That's not what's right. That no is a slicing of plane. It's taking the ether and with a knife, right? The air. This is talking about magic, guys. Think about air as being the magic of will. With a knife in my head, in my vision, I'm able to slice no. So I'm taking the entire world and I'm slicing it right in half in this direction, and then I'm slicing it straight down with my yes. And so as we communicate, because we don't understand, we don't pay enough attention to our movements and our motions, we don't fully comprehend the circuitry that we make with our energy. In fact, as I'm talking about that, I realize that a lot of times I do this, I do kudu and kudu and kudu as I'm talking. And so what I'm doing is that I'm gently trying to prod on this blossom where others will hear that sound. But what they're really hearing is this energetic Taurus blossomy looking thing that I've envisioned that they're, I'm serving up, and then I'm kind of blowing it into into the speaker. I know that sounds weird, but if you could see that energy, it would look like a certain shape. And if you were being told if I disagreed with you, Benjamin, you'd be seeing a shape that had a lot of swaths, right, of no through it. It things would be that way. And what I'm trying to do is tell you is that that's what I kept thinking when I saw that room video, that it's more about emotion through ether, etheric motion, basically.
Absolutely. It's absolutely energetic movement. How does the energy move? And this is, you can tie this to like yoga and Tai Chi, those type of things where they're very specifically pulling an energy up and then pushing it out with their body. They're just being more consciously aware of how they're manipulating the energy through their body and making it move. Most of us just don't think about that. Mm. When, like James said, while he was talking, I'm nodding my head. James knows I agree with him. I don't have to say yes, yes, yes. He's like, yep, he's with me.
Yep.
Dude's with me over here. So this is all we're talking about is energetic movements. And most of us do everything so unconsciously. We don't actually stop and look at the way our body works. Look at what we've got going on and analyze that. And realize it. That's like even simple things like I can move. I can't probably do it with my headphones in, but I can move my ears. A lot of people can't move their ears. Mm. All it is an isolation of a muscle right here, and it just pulls, and I just flex that one individual muscle. This isn't a magic trick. This is a self-awareness thing that I have isolated down, understanding this muscle. And I can make just that individual muscle flex.
Right.
The same thing happens magically. And with the runes, you're talking about understanding the way these energies are flowing and pulling. So when you're looking at the runes and you're studying them, this is part of why the tree in this video is important to me, is because then you can understand and start taking that in, that when I'm looking at the Fehu rune, this is a very root rune. This is the tail rune. And I'm pulling that power up from the root, from the very root source. And then I'm making that motion, and this is feru, and this is what I'm talking about and what I'm thinking, and I'm putting that all together in one thing. Mm. And that gives it so much more power.
Yep. I would even say that the closest thing, and I'm not even saying this does it justice, by the way. I'm just trying to give a tangible, how could we leapfrog from one shore to the other of modern day society and what we're talking about. And I would say that a monogram is about the closest thing I can think of that's similar to the rune. Because as your monogram, when you recognize your initials and when they're on a towel or they're on a shirt that you own, you feel a veneration from the circuitry of those stitches. And it's coming from the shape, the sigil shape of that circuitry. That's why someone who doesn't know you can monogram your shirt, but you will still feel the imbuing power of it. It's not their prana didn't go into it. It's not like this some seamstress was like, oh, well, I need to venerate this person now, and let me light a ritual, and let me do all this stuff. I mean, certainly you could, and that would add to it. But clearly you know that that's not happening. Bed Bath & Beyond isn't doing a ceremony where they're venerating you by looking at your credit card receipt. You know, it's a different kind of energy. And that's why when it comes to you, when you get the monogram, you still feel that power because you are the one imbuing it. And these runes come pre-imbued. They come imbued through history. And your letters and your name come pre-imbued through history. You don't have to go around screaming at people saying, I keep telling you over and over that the shape that looks like a square that has a dot in the center, but then has an arrow that comes from the right and then does a backhand turn and comes around, that means me. I keep fucking telling you guys that, and you can't remember. This is ridiculous. You see, we don't have to do that. Imagine if we had to do that all the time. It would be insane. It's the same kind of idea. In fact, the idea that if you read live chat, or if you read anything, and you know, I will psychically meet Benjamin and James today at 11 a.m. if I go to these runes and I type them in to the rune Google Chrome, and it will take me there. I will see that. You only knew that because runes were used to have an imbuing spirit that you already understood what they meant. It's not to say that runes are an alphabet, because it's so much deeper in the roots than this neocortex alphabet that we have. But it's the closest example that I can think of to just explain that this is where all this fits in with today's world, as close as it can.
And it was one of the very first alphabets. But like you said, it's much more. Like Fehu isn't just A, or, you know, mm-hmm. A, you know, that's the first letter. Fehu doesn't equate into A, but A is just a letter, you know, and it means A, and then you put it together with other things. Fehu has its own meaning. It means a kept cow. It means something, a value on your home that you live symbiotically with, that you have to take care of, has value to you, but also would have value outside of your home. I could trade my cow to James and get 3 goats and a painting. You know, this is what it means, but it also has a letter value also. So there was, you know, tablets and things kept in the runes. They did have an alphabetical meaning too.
Yep. And if you want to get closer to it, look at the alphabet compared to the Hebrew alphabet. People have more a higher veneration for the Hebrew alphabet. They do see it more spiritually than we would look at our own alphabet. And that's kind of getting you closer. But something even more important, which is, this is going to be hard for some of you to grasp. I don't even know if Benjamin's going to agree with this. But when you really understand the pure esoteric magic of math itself, you firmly understand that runes and numbers are really the same thing, with the exception that we believe in runes in numbers so deeply that that belief has congealed into something that we call science, that we call mathematics. It requires no charging. It requires no faith. In fact, there's almost a fear associated with numbers because numbers have such a devastatingly firm control in the world. Your day will be dictated sometimes, not all the time, but your day will be dictated sometimes by the balance in your checking account. And you will let that balance dictate your entire emotional field. And it shows you just how powerful three swipes with a cross can be. How these motions, right, of yes and no, that's the simplest thing I can tell you. But the motions of the numbers themselves have, it's a deeper seated kind of scaffolding in our world. And it's hard to grasp because you think of math as being more objective, but it's not. Math is completely subjective. It's just that you believe it so deeply because everyone else believes it so deeply too. There's never ever been, no one questions it. No one ever questions the faith of numbers. It's quite the opposite. People will believe numbers on top of people, right? Statistics is its own God. Statistics is a God. That's the perfect example to prove what I mean. We will believe statistics far quicker than we will believe someone's personal experience. By the way, before I hand this back off to Ben, thanks for the super chat. We had someone just pretty cool. Thanks for being you. Thanks, Brent. Brett, I really appreciate it. We both do. Any thoughts on that math thing, Benjamin?
I would absolutely say that they're very similar. And I would say that math out of the two is the masculine component, where language would be the more feminine component.
Wow.
And obviously in life, you even see this. Women, a little two-year-old girl will sit down and tell you an entire story. You're like, how do you know that many words? You know, and then the little two-year-old boy's like, food. But that kid can also like take apart things that you just walk outside and you're just in shock. You know, they've got half the old microwave that was laying in the yard torn apart into pieces, and you're like, oh my God, how did you do that? And then you're freaking out because then they're going to hurt themselves. But you know, this is a very but in school, immediately boys pick up math immediately. It's just an easy thing. Girls pick up language very easily.
And that's fascinating. So you're saying math is salt, or I'm sorry, yep. Right? Math is salt,
yep.
And letters are oil?
Yep.
What would you call, would you say that within the letters of oil, that there are masculine consonants and feminine vowels? Or do you see any distinction with that at all?
Yeah, I would say that the vowels are definitely more feminine. For sure, out of the two. And then, the consonants would be more masculine. But that's, you know, that's always the, anytime you look at something like a plant, the plant itself might be feminine, but then the plant will have both salt and oil. So it'll have a masculine side and a feminine side inside of the plant. Well, then the oil has three different levels, terpenes, and two more levels. And then one of those oils is more feminine.
Gotcha.
So that's where you're getting as above, so below. It always works the same. Starts breaking down the same.
That's awesome.
But out of the two, language can be so much more easily manipulated. It's more vacuous. It's more pulling. Where your numbers, they're more solid. Mm. Like you would never get the old Bill Clinton. It all depends on what your definition of is.
Right. Like, what, you know, I don't know if number four is what you think number four really means, right? That kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's nobody's going, well, are you sure four means four? Well, hold up four fingers, some bitch. Mm. That's what four means right there.
Right, right.
Four. One, two, three, four.
No, man. Three. See, one, two, three. It's the space between, man. It's the space between.
Right. So, yeah, you're never going to get that with numbers where literally Bill Clinton sat in front of a, you know, the country and said, it depends on what your definition of is. Mm.
Yeah, that does so, say it all. Yeah. Well, to take that even further, and Hebrew teaches you this too with their language, but you see it with English too. Sometimes you guys might run across this. You'll see a meme or some. I think most of us call them memes. Sorry, I keep saying memes.
Well, one quick segue.
Yeah.
Before he says, I want to point out Hebrew does not have vowels.
Well, that's exactly what I was getting at. Is that. When you remove the vowels from English, you can actually still read a paragraph. And Hebrew added vowels in later. It was a flourish. For those who might argue about the meaning of this sigil, here's some vowels, so shut the fuck up. I mean, literally, that's what vowels meant when they were added into the Hebrew language. It was a Talmudic reaffirmation. The spoken was coming back in saying, look, guys, I freaking told you this is what I meant. Now, look, take this E and put it here and then you start adding accents and everything else. But the point I'm trying to make, though, is that if you look at a chat message between you and someone else and you remove all the vowels, the inner meaning is still there. It's still actually, you can actually still read that message. It's a type of decompression. In other words, the message could be compressed only in its consonants. You could send it only by giving the consonants, and then when the receiver gets it, they actually could fill in the vowels for you, like 90%, just like compression. You know, you can compress something. When you decompress it, it'll be 90% of what it was, but it's still enough to where you will consider it valid. You will consider it a message. So all this concept of compression, of sigil, all of these really, really break down to a circuitry. Again, this software circuitry, it doesn't even have to be software. You could look at this in electrical methods too, with the seven logic circuits that come with anything, right? And you have an AND circuit, something that joins two things together. There are runes that will join two things together, right, Benjamin? You have an OR circuit, one which says, I will take one or the other. There is an OR circuit in runes too. You know, something that will, something that comes about with choice or making a decision between one of two things. So all these circuitries are probably expressed in runes too. They're just have a, is it, correct me here, is it 21 or 28 runes?
24.
Okay, thank you, 24.
And the Elder Futhark anyways, which is the only one that I truly use because it's the only one that actually fits into the tree. But yeah, 24, it's three sets of eight.
Do you use these runes for like a divination exercise or sort of like a tarot or something like that?
A lot of people do. I don't personally myself so much. That's typically more of a feminine thing. But they get used for it. A lot of people especially when you do that, a lot of people, then they'll go bleed their runes. So then douse them in blood. And then so that way they can get that tie to it, to use it for divination.
Wow. Like their own blood?
Yep.
Did you, yesterday I showed a video of United States of China live stream where the
I got about half of that video. I was cracking up as you bluntly point out that they decided the dissolution of the of China and changing it into a democracy as Bannon stood next to some random Chinese guy. Like, anybody in this country knows who he is. You could have put Jackie Chan up there for all it mattered. And decide and declared that China is no more and it's now a democracy. Oh, I was dying.
And they sealed it. Did you see him seal it in blood?
Right. It has to be. That's one of the things. Oh, man, this is a point I really wanted to bring up.
Good.
That today, the reason that we do not get things done today, the reason that we have lost so much of our power is because we choose not to make our own sacrifices. Yes. Like even the pagan rituals that I've been to and things like that, almost always they have something that represents blood. They don't cut a gash in their hand and bind their blood and their power into it and give it their will. You know, no, I'll take some of this red wine and it's kind of like it, you know, and it's the same idea that part of why people can't make changes out in the world, because you want an overwhelming and overarching hero. You want the police to come do it. You want the government to assign an agency. You still want to get that thing done. You just don't want to get your hands dirty.
Yep.
You don't want to be the one that goes out and has to do the dirty work. When you call the police on somebody else, you fully know that the police are going to come commit violence on that person. They are going to come force them to stop doing things. We all know the chances of you know, the police kill approximately 1,000 Americans a year. That's the ones that they go so far as to kill. They probably beat 50 times that number and don't manage to kill them. So you know that that's happening. You're okay with that happening. You just want to feel good about, oh, well, I'm a peaceful person. I didn't do it. Just like all these people that are, oh, I love animals. I'd never hurt an animal. Would you like some steak? And they don't get the irony that somebody had to kill that cow. Somebody had to do the dirty. And you're okay with eating the cake.
Right.
You just don't want to have to be the one baking it, mixing it. It's this sacrifice that gives you the power.
Yep.
That's what gives it. That's you putting your oomph into it, something impressive to you. This is important to me. And so you're willing to give of yourself for it. And when you take that away, you take away your power. That's just the flat and simple of it, folks.
Yep. In fact, there's an exercise that I used to do with people. I haven't done this since I started live streaming. Three people in a circle, and one person walks into that circle and says, I will kill somebody if each of you give me an ounce of silver. And all three are like, fuck that. No way. Nuh-uh. You know, that would make me guilty. Why is that? Well, because I'm paying you to do this. No, there's no way. So the next day, six people are in a circle. And the guy comes up to him and says, hey, man, I'll kill that guy if each of you give me half an ounce of silver. And they're like, fuck that, dude. What, are you nuts? Of course not. I'm not going to pay you to kill somebody. That would make me culpable. And so the next day he comes back and there's 12 people. And then there's 24. And then there's 48. And believe it or not, at 56 million, you now have a circle big enough where everyone will agree, because they will only have to give a tiny, tiny sliver of silver, just the tiniest amount, Ben. It's just a tiny, tiny fingernail of sliver is all it takes. And they're okay. They're like, yeah, man, let's go kill some fucking terrorists. Let's go kick the shit out of some Antifa. Let's go storm the streets, man. Let's invade our own fucking country because of how racist we are.
And on the same token, you've got half of them screaming, go after Antifa, and the other half screaming, you know, go after the white power people.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
And they're all pretending like they're good, peaceful people.
Yeah, both sides. Both sides have the aperture. Both sides have the aperture, but the silver's so small that they can't see where they're culpable. They just can't see it. And that's why with words and one psyop that could have involved a dead guy, I really just don't know, guys. I don't even know. A, if that was a cop. B, if it was a guy that got killed. C, if either of them are real. We don't even freaking know. All right?
Hollywood is pretty talented, guys. They're pretty good. You've all watched Saturday Night Live. We've all seen all these things.
Yeah.
It does not take much.
It doesn't take much at all. And it keeps taking less every time. And it's I would say that it's more insensitive to believe these things are true. I would say that you are more cruel by freaking jumping in there and saying, oh, well, surely it's true. Surely we should be outraged or not outraged, or too outraged or not enough outraged, right? That's really the only choice that we have. So I think that you're already giving it silver by believing it's true. To me, it's the more responsible thing is can we find an independent organization of citizens that are willing to tell us what happened? Because that would be a lot more responsible than listening to the media, than following the regulations that we have to follow anytime one of these things is inserted. And because if not, you end up with half the country being liberal, saying we have to get out and vandalize everything because of how racist everyone is. And then the other half, the conservatives, saying, I really hope that people come out and vandalize these people that are out vandalizing to show them how unracist we are. And you end up with a nationwide riot that's running right after a nationwide virus riot that's running right after the IMF came in and bought the entire country for $5 trillion. And still no one says a word. Just like yesterday when I post that live stream on China. This isn't me bitching about this, by the way, but no one's going to cover that story. No one's going to talk about what happened off a yacht in front of the Statue of Liberty yesterday. It's not going to be a topic. It doesn't have enough juice. It doesn't have enough flavor to it. It doesn't have the right je ne sais quoi to make it onto the special board. It doesn't have that kind of power, because truth doesn't need a psyop. Truth doesn't need fireworks. Truth isn't going to have fireworks. What we keep expecting truth to walk in the front door of the building, make an appointment 2 weeks ahead, have its special pass, get searched by the security guard before it walks in. And that's not how truth works. That's how psyops work.
One quick question. I didn't catch this in that little interview. Is President Xi gone?
All we know is that a new federal state of China has been declared. And it's been declared.
Right, but does this also include the president for life? Because I'm not sure if they understand how democracy works. But isn't their president for life?
Yes. Although I wouldn't call that a president, but yes, their political leader. You've seen it, what's broken out in China yesterday is a United States of China, Taiwan, Hong Kong. There's four states. Sorry, guys. I don't have watched my stream yesterday. Those four states have declared independence from China and have given their authority to the Himalayan Council. This magical place that now runs China. That magical place is being enforced, according to Steve Bannon, by America. America is now responsible for protecting the United States of China. And that's what was announced yesterday off the coast of the Statue of Liberty with Steve Bannon and that guy Mao. That guy Mao is apparently, one of my viewers told me this, I haven't had the chance to look at myself, but apparently is the son of the same puppet dictator that was sent into Japan. I don't know how they're all related, but he basically is that dude is basically a populist for democracy. The exact same people that were in Hong Kong with the hey Trump, come save us, come to Hong Kong and save us. Do you guys remember that? It was all these signs were protesting Hong Kong people asking Trump to come save us. that's how you set this up. That's how you set the story of the United States of China as being an organic event, the same way they set up Black Lives Matter all week, the same way they set up COVID-19, where all these things look like organic events. But Benjamin, if you go back to the Olympic ceremony in 2012, there's nothing organic about that. They're telling you, here's the order. Here's the playbill. This is Act Two. This is Act Three. There's an intermission in between. And this is how it goes.
There is nothing in China that could happen nationwide organically. Absolutely nothing. I don't think most people understand that any way, shape, or form. That China, number one, by land mass is massive. By population is massive. Mm-hmm. The entire reason that China doesn't run the whole world is because China in and of itself has never been a unified country.
Right.
It's the people we deal with. We pretend like they represent all of China, but that's not the way that works. China's insanely huge, and it's got very diverse factions that control different sections of China. That's not a unified country in any way.
Interesting.
That's why they haven't taken over the world. They could man for man fight the entire world.
If they were unified.
Right. If they were unified. Mm-hmm. But they are not. They are constantly infighting and have no inner unification. It's very interesting that nobody quite seems to get that. But on the TV, the ones that we talk to, we pretend like they've got control of the whole show. Just like on that video that you posted, they pretended like this one little dude that almost nobody in America will know who he is somehow actually represents the entirety of China. And like, oh, that dude said so. China mm-hmm. did it. They're now this. That I saw it. That little Chinese dude that said it.
Yep.
That's
well, I think it's safe to say, and I covered this in the stream yesterday, I think it's safe to say that Tiananmen Square was a psyop meant to be, here's the starting, this is how this starts. But more importantly, Hong Kong itself was allowed to exist as an open quote democracy, an open free market, I should say, an open capitalistic, capitalocracy, basically. It was allowed to exist as a free independent state precisely to convince the Chinese factions that this is going to be profitable for you, that this is going to work out. You're still going to be able to control everything. It just scares you to think, wait, you want me to control a free economy? Why? I can just control the Chinese economy and not worry about it. So all these are gestures, sort of like bringing the head in a box, you know, of the Indian that you caught that was just trying to feed his family. But you're like, no, see, I'm anti-Indian. I brought this guy's head. It's these gestures that they make to each other. This is why the POTUS seal went down for 5 or 6 press conferences. This is why the Buckingham Palace seal was blackened out in the same way. These have been long-standing gestures and promises saying, look, we will form an international mafia. This will work out good. And this is how you negotiate with your Bugsies and your Capones and all your other creatures to get them to unite is by having this same conglomerate where everyone feels safe enough to go ahead and proceed. And really, all this has been decided 10, 20 years ago. This is just how it's finally rolling out, basically. We're finally being told what's already happened a while ago, which is the New World Order, basically.
So basically, we explained to China advanced slavery. Most people think that there was some kind of a giant moral shift when we decided to abolish slavery. And that could not be further from the truth. That there was only ever a tiny percentage of Americans that ever owned slaves in the first place. Mm-hmm. That tiny percentage had no morals, never cared about anything. What they figured out was that they'd quit getting indentured servants. And history has left out indentured servants for the most part. They were by far more heavily used than slaves when our country started.
Yeah.
We actually weren't even involved in the slave trade for quite a while. And then we're only involved in it in a very short time because slaves are expensive. You're buying with a slave, you're buying an investment. Now, this is a horrible way to look at it. I'm not saying as a human being, you should do this, but when you're trying to understand a slaver, somebody that would potentially purchase a slave, he's looking at this as like an ox. When I go and purchase an ox, I'm purchasing a real good ox, and I'm going to take care of this ox because I want this thing to last for 20 years. It's going to be plowing my field every year. I want it to be strong and hardy. With an indentured servant, you were only had them for a very short time. You paid almost nothing for them. You had them for a very short time while they worked off their servitude, and you never actually got anything out of that. So they would almost always work those people to death, like in a very short amount of time. Where a slave, you had to take care of him. You had to feed him, house him, really do well because that was an investment. Well, they had already figured out that if you could switch this around and start paying them this meager amount, that these ones that would do the work, they'll come work at your house and then go take care of their own damn selves. Mm-hmm. And now you've got everybody under this model. And so now this is a much better model than owning slaves.
Right.
Because you look at the Walmart family, they're billionaires. Mm-hmm. They did that easily off of basically making slaves out of an entire population of people. Because when you go in and you work, and what your work does not provide you a home, food, you know, clothing. If you have children, your children should have clothing and food and all that. So that way later they can become good slaves and go out, work the field and produce well. This is basic, you know, just thought process that you would use on any animal, you know. Now, if you're not responsible for that animal, that's just a borrowed mule that you're just paying a few bucks for the day. Beat that thing up. Who cares?
Yeah, you know,
that's the saying, you know, beat it like a government mule.
Right.
That's
or a rental car, right? Like a
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're never going to treat your car like a rental car if you have any sense. You're not going to go 6,000 miles without changing the oil and ride that thing around and see how fast, you know, see how fast you can take off and just rev the shit out of it and slam the brake. You're not going to do those things because you're going to have to pay for the brakes. You're going to have to pay for the damages, all those things. This is the same concept with slavery and indentured servants. And like I said, that pretty much ended because we had it out with the crown. So the crown quit sending us all the indentured servants.
But we were creating our own every day because every winter, thousands of people that were sent or found themselves in America, migrated, basically forced migration, a lot of it, found themselves in the new world and literally lacked the ability to take care of themselves. If you don't have shoes and winter's coming, you are desperate. And these people would come to people's homes and knock on the door and say, I'm desperate. And that indentured service contract was basically
what we have now,
negotiated on the porch. And
right.
When you look at what we have now, we have timeshare cropping. We don't call it that. But ladies and gentlemen, we are time sharecroppers. We are sharecroppers for our own time. You owe a certain percentage of time to the government through income taxes. That is a tax on your time. And that proves that slavery did not go away. It was graduated into time sharecropping, the most valuable commodity that you have. And the reason why we despise slavery and pretend to abhor it instead of having a very more honest look at it is because we do not want to admit that we are time sharecroppers. We don't want to admit that that's the system that we are propping up and supporting. That's the very same system that allows that little sliver of silver to come off between 56 million people, and all of us now agree that we can go kill people. All you have to do, whoever you kill, they're going to be terrorists, right? The guy with the gun's like, oh yeah, there'll be a terrorist. Don't you worry. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. And so when you hear things like taxation is theft, government is timeshare cropping. Because when you say taxation is theft, you pretend like you are not compliant in this entire system. You pretend like you're the victim, but you're not the victim. You're shaving off pieces of silver that are going to be turned into guns that are going to be pointing at you and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And they're going to be pointed at you through plastic shields, through mace, through riot gear, and through Black Lives Matter Lane, through giant yellow painted streets in Washington, D.C. that say, we fetishize black people. We have a fetish for black people. That's what we're telling everyone. And that's the only acceptable position. Now, we keep calling this government, but this new theory I have is that this is not government. This is Baal Babel. This is the god of propaganda, and we worship that god because when he tells us George Floyd, all of us freak the fuck out. Even the ones that hate the government, even the ones that don't believe, we still freak out. And that shows you how powerful Baal Babel truly is. We worship him by servicing all of the shit that he says. And I think it's just very difficult for us to admit that. It's very difficult because we're under the impression that we only worship if we go to a church on Sunday, and if we go inside, and if we do this, and if we do that. And the rest of the time, I'm not worshiping. So I can watch porn. I can fucking throw silver at the government. I can do whatever I want, as long as it's not on Sunday. And so you start to see what a valuable tool having a Sunday service is if you're sending it to an inverted population, this population that is already saying, I'm not that, I'm not that, I'm not a timeshare cropper, I'm not a slave. It's all of it is so untrue that we're losing touch with who we are. We're becoming evacuated, which means we're more agreeable with each other. Because when we're evacuated, we fill ourselves with the person that's evacuated. So we all become more agreeable by becoming more psychopathic, by being more and more afraid of what the truth truly is, of how all this works. It's such a viciously clear cycle once you see it. But until you do, it's never, ever, ever going to make sense. You're never going to be able to get past the words that James just said, the gifts of Baal. And I can't even fucking handle that phrase, so I'm not about to go listen to anything else he says. That's where it is right now.
If you can't understand that this is a cycle, I have one name for you. Sandra Bland.
Who's that?
You don't know who Sandra Bland is?
Well, even if I did, I would still say who's that because I'm sure
exactly
other people
4 years, exactly 4 years ago, black woman was drug out of her car, murdered by police. Name was all over the election cycle. Black Lives Matter came out screaming. The entire display exactly 4 years ago, guys. The whole thing.
Right before the election? Is that what you said?
Exactly 4 years ago, Sandra Bland. And never mind that 300... Here's the funny part is you guys don't even worship this for real. The ones that are doing it. Not your fans, obviously. And, you know, our friends. Like, but the ones that are falling into this, you guys aren't even freaking real about it. Approximately 300 black people get killed a year, but somehow only once every 4 years, right before the fucking elections, does one get unjustly killed. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you know, cause only about every 4 years does everybody start freaking out. And all of a sudden it's all across the nation. And it's going to be amazing because all Republicans are going to be racist, and Democrats are going to not be somehow. Never mind that the police, you know, I mean, the mayor of Minneapolis, who runs the city police, is a Democrat. The governor of Minnesota is a Democrat. You've never seen an FBI agent dragging somebody out of their car and beating them like that. That's never been on the news. The federal government does not police. They have the FBI and the CIA. If it says police on it, that is a state, county, or city agency. Mm-hmm. So whatever state, county, or city aid, it, whoever is in charge of those, that's where the problem lies. And you're going to see areas like Baltimore, Chicago, which have the most liberal people running them and have all the minority, you know, violence going on with the police. And they're going to sit out here and scream that that's the Republicans and it's because Republicans are racist, even though it's happening in the cities that they control, which is an extraordinarily weird thing. And then, like I said, everybody's going to pretend like they care, even though for the last 3 years, approximately 900 black people have been killed by police. You don't know any of their names. Somehow, magically, none of them were murdered. You know, were all those just killings? And then you're going to pretend like the other thing they're going to pretend is like, apparently this only happens to black people. Well, 500 white people a year get killed by police. Mm-hmm. 200 people out of the Asian, Hispanic, and Native American races all get killed by police a year. And then they're going to say, oh, well, it's the biggest problem because the black people, the 300, is the highest per capita. But no, Native Americans have the highest per capita. So if that's the qualifications, why aren't they the first ones you're dealing with? And why does there have to be a first? Why can't we deal with all of it simultaneously? Mm-hmm. Why isn't killing of Americans just an issue? If that person is not be actively, truly threatening the police officer, I'm holding a gun and he is probably gonna die if he doesn't kill me. That's the only justified killings by police. Other than that, that is them murdering citizens. Why isn't that just an overall general statement that everybody gets behind? The reason that they push, part of the reason that they push the just the black one is because there's two main groups in this country, black and white. And if those two groups both got together and said, you know what, dude, we're all gonna fight and we're not gonna go down and we're not gonna start attacking the small businesses in town and go riot in Main Street. We are coming to the Capitol building. You guys made these rules. You're their bosses. You hire and fire them. We are coming as a unified people, and we are demanding that this stop right now. And guess what? It would. As an entire city of people surround City Hall, those little cowards in it who would be scared, their little thug force of police could not control it. Then things would change. Instead, they keep the two groups at each other's throats. And so no change can ever happen. It's amazing that people fall for it.
Well, I would say that we could even turn this completely upside down and say that we want this. Most Americans want to feel like they're racist. They want to feel like that they're a dirty, dirty, bad person, and that they can't be trusted with their own race relations. And I say that because I don't think Black Lives Matter would be as popular if that wasn't the case. There is an appetite in the zeitgeist, which is controlled by people. It's not controlled by the government. Yes, the government can inject things into the zeitgeist, but you have to understand, guys, you give your prana to the zeitgeist every day. All of us do. Why? Not by agreeing or disagreeing with the story, but by simply giving it energy. Whichever story gets the most energy is the story that wins. Even if everyone hates the story, it still wins. So what I see happening is a lot of people in the nation. I'm not saying everyone. I'm certainly not even really necessarily referring to the people in the chat. But you have to look at the general population, just like a prison. What does the general population tell you? And the general population wants to feel like they're an awful person. They want the masochism that comes with feeling like they're a racist. It makes them feel better. It makes them feel better because they need someone in a shield to come bash their shit in. They want to have a master. They want to have a strong police force occupying the ground. They don't want their sovereignty. It's too much work. They don't trust their intuition. They don't trust their own judgment. They'd rather give it to the police. And so what I see is the reason why we haven't revolted, the reason why we haven't demanded it all change, is because so many of us don't want to. It goes back to this idea that we are in a kiddie pool, and that the kiddie pool, we are pissing in our own kiddie pool. And it's taking a long time for all of us to realize we need to stop peeing in this pool. We cannot get out. We can only get out if we stop peeing. It's so funny how it works that way. The moment we stop peeing in the pool, we're allowed out. We can get in the big pool, but only after we stop doing that. And instead of what's happening is people don't want to leave. They're like, dude, this kiddie pool's warm. I really like it. It feels really great. There's no way I can drown. It's shallow enough. And if you have to go to the bathroom, you don't have to leave. You can just go. You can just do this. You can go. And I'm peeing right now. And no one knows. And if they did know, they pee too. So it's okay. So we're left in this kiddie pool. And that's what's happening now. And some of us are like, we need to revolt. We need to fucking fix this. But it's not enough people. It's not enough. This is part of Dojo Earth. This is part of learning how to discern and grow out of Dojo Earth. And some of us are so clever that we're emptying Babe Ruths and we're putting them in the pool. And we're putting them in the pool so they can float around, purely because we're hoping other kids will see the Baby Ruth and freak out and be so disgusted that they will stop drinking the water. That they will say, wait, this pool is full of shit. Even though all it is full of piss, it fucking makes you wake the fuck up. Why? Because every time I say, or Benjamin says, or people in the chat say, hey, stop pissing in the pool, stop drinking the piss water, people don't. Because they're like, well, I don't have to fucking listen to you, blah, 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 blah. I'm my own person, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just going to get myself, and we're going to go fucking kill some people, and we're just going to be like consent, 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 because Zionism says I ain't going to burn in hell as long as I fucking give my church some blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to stay inside, put my mask on, get down on my knees, and have a black fetish for cock, damn it. That's what's
It's happening. Sterile, and I like the taste.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't want a Brussels sprout. I want some fucking heroin. Right? I don't want to fucking go out in the field and grow my own garden and try and figure shit out and have to kill my own chickens and have to slaughter this and do that and think about this and be in church every day. I only want to be in church 1 hour a week. Hold me accountable that hour. The rest of the hours, don't fucking make me do this. I do not have what it takes for this. That's why I worship Baal, Babel, right? That's what they say. That's why I worship Zionism. And I could pretend like everyone else a fucking heathen. I could pretend like everyone else is a racist. I could pretend like everyone else a terrorist or everyone else is a Muslim or whatever the fuck you want to do at it. Just do me a favor. Don't fucking tell me to get out of the kiddie pool. It's warm. I actually like the yellow color. It's nice. And I don't want to fucking leave, you know? And it seems like what the apocalypse is that the water is turning yellow. And all the people that used to enjoy drinking yesterday, who would get mad at people like you and me and say, don't you make me stop drinking, they're now seeing that the water's yellow and they're freaking the fuck out, man. They're putting on masks. They're getting on their knees. They're literally getting on their knees with masks and bowing down to black people that randomly walked up to them on the street. This is not an analogy. This is fucking true. Getting down on their knees and saying, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Whoever you are, I'm fucking sorry for how evil I am. That's how bad they don't want to leave the pool. They're pleading, do not take me out of this pool. I really want to keep peeing on myself. I just want it. That's what we're surrounded by. That's what truly Earth Dojo is so full of those people. And that's why I call it a gift to Ball. That's why I call it the best apocalypse ever, because I want more Baby Ruths in the pool right the fuck now. I want the pool full of Baby Ruths, because it's going to work. It's the only thing that's going to work, man. It's the only thing that I can think of that seems to be having massive effects. Building 7, Babe Ruth in the pool. Building 7 is Baby Ruth in the pool. Anyway.
I couldn't agree more. And where we're stuck right now is brings me back to the sacrifice. That people want a change, but they don't want to be the change. They want somebody else to do it. They don't want to go out and plant the field. They want to still bitch about what somebody else is giving them. Mm-hmm. Until they realize that that cook is just never going to bring them something that they want, and they're going to have to go out and do it their own damn self, we're never actually going to get anywhere as a society, which is part of why I don't really fight with, you know, get into society too much. I do my own thing off on my own, because at the end of the day, making your own world is all you can do. Like, I can't make all these other people want to do it. I can't make, because at the end of the day, even if they agree with me, then they're going to be like, well, here, you go do the work, dude. I'll come hang out at your place. Mm-hmm. I get requests for that a lot. Like, yeah, I'd like to come live on your land. Well, sure you would. Hey, you know, would you like to come plant everything with me and then do all the other work? And sure, then we can all eat and take from the harvest, but I don't really want you up there if you're just wanting to eat the supper.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If the only time you have part of the farm is when we put food down on the table, mm-hmm. I want you there for the whole thing if you want to take back from it. But that's not what most people want to do. They want to just sit down and have somebody set something in front of them on the table. And then if they don't like it, they're going to bitch about it. You know,
it's that pool filter in the kiddie pool. In the kiddie pool, there's a filter, and people are drinking the water right next to the filter, going, "There's no pee over here. There's no pee over here. This is right next to the filter," and that filter is government. That filter is enabling all these fuckers to sit by the filter and constrict that and offer real estate. I will sell you access right next to this filter, dude. And all you got to do is go over there and piss. All you got to do is go over there and pee.
Without us, you wouldn't have this area. You couldn't even have this order without us.
Right.
So you need us.
Right.
Never mind that I could just choose as a human being to get the fuck up out this pool and then not pee in pools and not have this problem in the future.
We got kids running the government in this pool that are like telling other kids, if you eat a shitload of asparagus and you come back in here tomorrow and you pee over there, we will elect you the leader of this filter tomorrow. And it's fucking working. It is working, dude. It is insane how well it's working. Humans, it shows you how resilient and how clever humans are in the face of their own slavery. Even as they grip for their own slavery, they're showing you a willingness to burn trillions more calories than they ever could by doing it themselves. They will burn it's like the kids, and I was one of these kids. If it was time to clean the house, I was outside building a fort trying to camouflage myself. And if you were so no one would see me, right? So no one would yell, "Hey, get in here and do this chore." I would spend weeks and months, you know, like, I'm going to dig a giant hole. I'm going to have this hole that goes down this foxhole. Then we're going to have this. We're going to have all this stuff out. And all these sacrifices you would make is so much more work than just being sovereign. But you get caught up in the game. You get caught up in the whole system itself, and so you end up just like you're saying, the heroin. You know, it's an endless yarn that's dipped in heroin, and we're sucking it like a noodle. You know, where they keep sucking the noodle, and wherever the yarn goes, we'll follow it. That's what it's come to right now.
Absolutely, it's amazing. We're adult children, because you see kids do that all the time. They will do so much work to get out of just doing what they should have done in the first place. And it's like, wow, you know how much effort you just put into that? You would have been done dealing with this so long ago. You could have got rid of government years ago if you would have just stood up and said, you know what? I can take care of myself. Yeah. If you started feeling like, you know what? We don't need police. If I see somebody breaking into my neighbor's house, I'm going to call my neighbor and see what's going on. I'm going to call a couple other neighbors. We're as a group going to go over and deal with this. If things like that. And the funny thing is the government, of course, because that kind of idea is would take away their power. So now they have to make up the word vigilante and make that into an evil thing. Like, oh, you stopped a bad guy from doing a bad thing. You are now like the bad, bad.
Yeah.
You're a vigilante. They, oh, come on now. Get the hell out of here. You know, they expect vigilante justice out in the mountains. They literally expect that. They are not going to show up today. If you call them, if I was to call the cops and say, there's somebody on my land. He's got a gun. He's threatening us. He shot at my house already. 3 hours later, I might see a cop. If I didn't, they expect that I dealt with it. They're like, did you leave him? Where'd you leave him? Is he around here? Like, they expect that.
Right.
Because it's not convenient for them to deal with my problems.
Yeah, I just want to say that if anyone doubts Benjamin, there are several towns in Mexico where they've just said, dude, we don't want law. That's like the worst thing that's ever happened to this town. We're going to be our own law. And look at the stats for those towns, man. The reason why they make the headlines is because they have really good low crime laws. There's something to being out of this fucking kiddie pool. There's definitely, I mean, guys, look at what's waiting for you. High dive, right? Come on, how fun is the high dive? Diving boards itself. You can't have a diving board in the kiddie pool, right? You have deep, deep water, and it's crystal clear. My friends, why? Because there's only people in there that don't pee in their own water. It's freaking fantastic. So,
and if somebody shows up that's one of them people that pees, you're not going to be part of that group. They aren't going to want you in. They're like, dude, what? That's nice water. We don't want that. Go back over there. And the only people that are going to be cool with that are going to be the ones that made that other pool the way it was.
Yep.
So they could create that entire system of control again.
Yep.
Because this pool required people to each independently not pee in the pool, all be accountable for themselves.
Yep. The guys, seriously, the Zionism is more filters. It's not better people. It's more filters. All right. That's all it is. And if you're going to make this better, you're going to have to decentralize. You're going to have to localize. You're going to have a percolated government, meaning that it comes from you. And government becomes a tapestry of agreements. What does that mean? If everyone shows up to say, we need a culvert over this road right here so we can get to our road, that's government. And the people that show up that day to do that, that's government working. That's how it works. Oh, but James, what about the guy that's going to sit back and not participate? He will get his. Why? Because everyone around him, just like Benjamin said, are responsible for their water. They're responsible for the quality of their life. So when they catch someone else peeing in the big pool, they're going to fucking say it. They're going to make it expensive for that guy. The only way that guy's going to be able to profit is to get back in the kiddie pool. It's the only way it's going to happen. And that's really the only solution that we could have to all this. It's one of the reasons why I am extremely suspicious of any kind of savior program that's out there that's trying to implement the idea that Washington, D.C. is going to save you. It's not. It's not. Washington, D.C. is the kids that want a kiddie pool. They want to control the filters. They don't want to control the filters. They want to control who gets to sit by the filter. That's it. That's their only goal. And there's nothing wrong with that even. It's not like they're broken. Stop thinking government is broken. This is how it works on Dojo Earth. The more government you have, the more real estate you're going to have next to a filter. That's all you're going to get out of this. It's the antithesis of growing. You're never going to grow this way.
If you don't understand this real easily, Hollywood fixes it for you. They always do. If you haven't seen the Hunger Games series, where when the things start falling apart and the central government, the capital, he flat lays it out. We're the beating heart of Pan Am. You guys give us all of your supplies and all of your labor, and we make sure there's order. We make sure that the ones that should be closest to the filter are closest to the filter. Mm-hmm. And those furthest away from the filter are furthest away from the filter.
Yep.
We make sure that happens. We are, of course, closest to the filter and receive all the benefits mm-hmm. of you guys. And then you also see the example of everything else James and I were talking about. When they finally broke, when they finally were ready to fight, they turn around, and that's the disc where they call it Catching Fire, where she says, you see that our buildings are burning, but look, yours are too. Mm-hmm. It's catching fire. We're okay if we burn, because you've made our life so damn miserable, so unhappy, so impossible, that we're okay if it burns. We just want to make sure you burn with us. Mm-hmm. That's the only time change is going to happen. When you are okay with it happening, I cannot. This is why Thomas Jefferson said, occasionally the life tree of liberty must be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Patriots came first in that statement. You notice that? Mm-hmm. Because if you aren't willing to go and make the change, not willing to put yourself up and lose yourself for it, then it's not obviously not worth it to you.
Damn, Ben, that's some serious thick drop right there. I never considered that Patriots was listed first. That's heavy, man.
If you're not willing to lose your life to go in there and make mm-hmm. the change, it's never gonna happen.
Yep.
Never.
Yep. Man, thank you so much. I encourage everyone to check out your channel. I assume you're probably in the middle of harvesting some really good goodies and something like that. Anything you want to say in closing here?
Just don't be afraid of doing it, guys. If you want to see flowers, plant flowers. Mm-hmm. If you want corn, plant corn. It's that simple. If you want something, make it happen. And quit taking away all the excuses. Quit taking away all the reasons that you shouldn't do it. All those little things. Just go do it. Yeah. And then we're going to have something. And absolutely, I've just about got a bunch of my ferments done. So real stoked about that. And heathenwizards.com if you want to check out my website. And I should have all the order. I'm 100% positive, really, that I got all the orders filled. The week that I had the alpaca tooth through my finger and things just kind of went sideways a little bit, but I got sick for like 3 days. And actually then when I did it, I sent out some orders right when it happened. And then I completely I was so messed up and I resent orders even. And, but everything's good to go now. All married up and
that's right.
Yeah. Life is good. And I'm going to have a live stream today. Later on today, and then I think when I talk to James, I think we talked about it, and I think about noon my time is going to be the regular time.
Cool. Yeah, looking forward to it.
So I don't think I'm going to get it to noon today, but because of the grandsons, but right. they're going to be gone here in the next week or two. So I'm going to try and get it at noon every week on Saturday.
Cool, man. Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm going to sign off now because I'm trying to close the show down here in 5 minutes and I have to cover one more topic with everybody. But honor, Benjamin, thank you so much.
Love really, you, brother.
I'd love to see you. Yeah, I hope we do this more again frequently and I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Man, I love that guy. Love that guy. Happy Saturday, guys. I want to say a special thank you to Cindy M. also for another her super chat. Great show today, guys. Thank you. I agree. I love talking to that guy. Wednesday, I did a patron campfire chat. I'm going to do another one tonight, later on this afternoon. I don't have a time yet. If you're a patron and you want to actually discuss something with me or with a group, you're welcome to join us. We'll have that chat. And then we'll be streaming that for anyone that's not a patron, so no one's left out in that. So if you're looking for a one-on-one, more of an intimate thing to discuss things with other people of like mind in here, me would be one person in the room of many, you should check that out. Consider joining Patreon and checking that out. If you can't afford Patreon or don't like Patreon or that's not your thing or you can't believe that I would suggest anyone would have to join Patreon, don't worry, because it's live stream, so you get to see it too. So it's something we're experimenting with. I have no idea how long it'll go for or even if it'll work. It's just something I wanted to try because there's so many good ideas out there, and I want to do what I can to help push them too. So stay tuned for that also. And yeah, a totally cool guy. I love Benjamin. He's fabulous. Thanks a lot, guys. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for joining me on this Saturday. And let's see if this guy will come back over one more time before we go. He's over there. He's just like, I don't know if I'm kind of camera shy. He's looking though. He's like, should I go back over there? Should I really go back over there and see what they're doing? I don't know. It feels like everyone's looking at me. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll just say goodbye to you guys. You guys have a happy Saturday. I'm Red Squirrel. I'm chewing this thing, and then we're gonna go. And yeah. Don't pee in the kiddie pool. Don't pee in the kiddie pool. There's better things to do than pee in the kiddie pool. All right. Yeah. Have a good day. He's gonna stop stream now. Oh, he's gonna look right at you. Look at him. What a cool life we have here.